Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Blue Shirt Underground Radio, Tuesday, December 6th. We're looking to sweep the leg by being on Tuesday tonight. Good evening, Eddie. How are you?
I'm doing fine.
I'm kicked me out of the chat room, by the way.
Who did? You did?
I think you did.
I said I kept getting kicked out. Said somebody was logging in and it's me. And let's face it, who can replace me? Nobody can. I'm irreplaceable, just like you are.
Got that
just
right.
Just like the rest of the people who have gathered unlawfully here to talk Ranger hockey tonight. I'm doing swell. the New
Glad
York Rangers. Yeah, we're here to talk Ranger hockey. Something you will not hear anywhere else. They don't talk. They want to talk about this Penn State Sandusky till they're blue in the face on FAN. They want to talk Jets and Giants. I understand. Meanwhile, the Rangers should be the toast of the town. Are they talking about them? No. But here they are. See, I'm still not in this chat room. Oh, there I am. I've emerged. How are you doing, Jim? Let me throw it right back at you.
I'm doing all right. I might be back in the chat room as well. I don't know if we got some early technical difficulties. Video's not working tonight. I had I was trying to get that straightened out with the crack technical department of Blog Talk Radio. But the first thing the guy said is, "What video are you referring to?" And then he said, "Have you ever used the video before?" And then he said, "I'm not sure if that program is up and running yet." And I said, "Well, we've been using it for 2 years." And his response to that was, "Interesting." And then I closed out the live chat window. I don't think he's going to be much help for us tonight.
No. No, he is getting a grade of 0.0 on customer service. But don't worry.
All right, let me start out with this. Let me get this out of the way. We got a guest coming up in about 10 minutes or so. I believe he's going to join us. So let me get this out of the way, and then we're going to move on. I'm not going to talk about it anymore on the show. You guys got to calm the fuck down in his Facebook group. It's driving me nuts. You guys going at it with each other. There's no reason for it. You're supposed to be adults. I kicked out a few people today, one of which you know all about, Mr. Fibo, who I would be willing to bet will call in tonight. I am expecting it after the message. Eddie sent Eddie the same message that I was talking about. He sent Eddie the same message. This guy lives for trolling. And all you do is you feed the fire. And there are other people like that on the Facebook group as well. You know who they are. If you don't agree with them, just ignore them, and we'll take care of them. Or eventually, they'll get bored and they'll go away. Okay? Fighting with each other, all this back and forth, makes absolutely no goddamn sense. And some of you guys that you think just, oh, there's women in the room, they either want to fuck me or they can't possibly know what they're talking about. I got news for you. Some of these women, actually most of them, know more than some of the guys that are in that group when it comes to talking hockey. And they're there to talk hockey. They're not there to tell you their bra size. They're not there to tell you what type of underwear they're wearing. They're not there to tell you how they sleep at night. They're there to talk hockey. And they call into this show, and you know what? They don't tell me they're at IHOP. They don't tell me where they went to eat dinner last night. They don't tell me that they're driving down the Parkway. They don't want to talk about the Mets. They don't want to talk about the Knicks. They don't want to talk about the Jets. They don't want to talk about the Giants. They call up to talk hockey. They don't call up for the attention. They call up because they want to talk hockey. So leave them alone. These guys threatened by – it's not 1950. They're not June Cleaver anymore. I'm sorry. Times have changed. We've let them out of the kitchen. So let's get over it.
I'm not laughing because you're exactly right. And just may I chime in, and we'll move on from there. It's so obvious when you see somebody – doing things for a reaction. And I know, listen, I was one of those people. You know, I got banned from the Game Show Network. A few people have listened. I got banned from the Game Show Network message board. Which is pretty sad that I was on the Game Show Network message boards.
I got banned several times from the Star Trek message board going back a couple of years.
You are super nerd. So, but the thing is, resist the temptation. Resist the temptation to jump on these idiots. And do me a favor. I don't want to see posts, or I would not like to see posts, where you say, I hate blank Ranger. If you hate a Ranger, there's something wrong with you. It's a damn hockey team. It's a hockey player. Say, how about we try to rephrase this? I find fault in Erik Christensen's game. Not, I hate, and no matter, and people sometimes think, and I'm, that they can convince these people that their hate is not valid. Anybody who starts that with the hate, you're not going to convince anybody. They've already invested so much emotion that they actually hate a player. I mean, let's get real. Listen, I'm the last guy on earth that's ever going to utter the words, can we be a little bit more mature? But I'm going to have to say it and break my record of 46 years straight. But can we just be a little, can we not act like fucking animals? That's all I'm saying. We're winning. What's going to happen if we're losing? And if you're threatening violence, you are an absurd human being. This is the damn internet.
People
are stupid.
And by the way, if you threaten violence, okay, I know it's probably not a big deal to you, but you're gonna get kicked out of the group, okay? Because there's just no need for that. That group exists we've tried to form a community for this show, and I understand that a lot of the people that are in that group aren't regular listeners to the show. But, you know, I said it this morning, and I'll say it again if I have to, we'll cut the group down to the 100 people, you know, that are here every week, and, you know, the thousands that listen on podcast or whatever and just float in and drop comments and want to, you know, piss people off. Well, you'll be missed, but that's the end of the story. Because not for nothing, I got a job, I got a wife, I got a life. I don't have time to sit and monitor a goddamn Facebook group. Text messages, Facebook, Jim, do you see what's going on? Oh, my God, it's terrible. Oh, are you talking about me? Did I do something wrong? Just, it's fucking Facebook, and it's the Rangers. Lighten up, everybody. Lighten up. You don't like Erik Christensen. You don't like Michael Delzato. You don't like Brandon Prust. You don't like Brian Boyle. Fine. That's your opinion. You're entitled to it. Let's not kill each other over it. We're all there for the same reason.
You just come at it in a different manner. I mean, it's fucking civility. Again, can we not be animals? Civility, that's all I'm asking for. We're all in this together. And it's a minority of people, and the most of people are cool. But the last thing me and Jim want to do was fucking play Big Brother here and have to watch and delete posts. I don't want to do that shit. Fuck that.
Exactly.
All right. Now let's get down to business. Let's get down to beeswax. Until our guest shows up. The New York Rangers have found themselves immersed, entrenched in a one-game losing streak. Oh, what are we going to do, Jim, now? As they fell to the mighty Laughs last night, by a score of 4-2. And the Leafs seem to have our number. That's twice at home. I thought the game, the Rangers, you know, surely tried their best in the latter stages of the game to try to get a tie and send it to overtime, but it did not come to pass. Some super hits by the Leafs in that game.
Yeah.
Dion Phaneuf hit on Michael Sauer was devastado.
Yeah, that was that was Stevens on Lindros esque. How many times you see a guy get hit so hard his helmet blows off his head like that?
Oh my god! It looked like one of those tiny little champagne party favor things where you pull the string and it pops off and the streamers come out. That was his helmet. It was nuts. And there's no update on Sauer yet because the Rangers have today off. But they'll find out tomorrow more about him and his status. But some people said they saw him walking around today in the weight room. So for whatever that means.
Well, if he officially has a concussion, we should know about it sometime in March.
Right. We'll find that out probably during next year's playoffs. Not this year's. Next year's. So Michael Delzato took a big hit. He went down, and I really thought he wasn't coming back. He was grimacing, like, really badly. I was like, he was ready to cry. And there was another big hit, and Artie took a hit. Oh, boy. Tried to cut in the middle with four guys around. I mean, you know, Artie's had a problem throughout his career of not keeping his head up. I don't think that was one of them. As blatant, he was trying to make a play. It was in the middle of a shot.
A shot.
So sometimes, you know, listen. Sometimes you lose. Usually, we lose a lot more. So we should be happy. I mean, we can't never be happy after a loss. But they didn't get off to a good start, and it kind of snowballed from there. Just one more thing that kind of crosses over to the Facebook thing. Listen, I know if you don't like Michael Delzato, I understand that, but to sit there and wait for him to make a mistake so then you can explode on Michael Delzato, because, I mean, let's face it, that shot he took at the end was probably the worst shot I've ever seen a defenseman take. It was like 90 feet wide. The guy was trying to make a play, but, you know, you can't, like, wait for one slip and go, "This guy, I hate this guy." Listen, they lost. He failed. It's going to happen. You know? The Rangers played good. I said Gustafson, or whatever you want to say, the monster. He played well, especially at the end. What were your thoughts on the game? What was going on? You were on that Twitter. What was the feeling during the game over there?
Well, you know, I'm only on Twitter for one reason during the games, and that's for broadcast nonsense. But that's I'll talk about the game first. Let me just double check the switchboard. Okay, our guest is not here yet. Fell behind early, dug a hole they couldn't get themselves out of. I thought this was for both teams. This really was both teams. I thought the referees picked an odd time to all of a sudden, find the whistle. What was it? Two? It was just under 3 minutes to go last night. They call Artie for hooking. I mean, that was so ticky-tack. You got to call that with 3 minutes to go. And then 40 seconds into the power play, they call a penalty on the Leafs. I lost my train of thought. The Delzato, you know, it was funny. How often do you see a guy get hurt and they had to get the trainer out of the locker room to come get Delzato because they had just taken Sauer off the ice? All I was thinking was, oh, welcome back, Anton Stroman.
Yeah, I know. And I missed the 5-on-3 goal. We actually scored 5-on-3?
Yeah, Gabrick's goal was 5-on-3.
My brother, who's, you know, he's trying to get back into things with the Rangers and stuff. And
oh, sure. Now that things are going well, here they come.
to show you how, like, not into the Rangers he is, I go, who scored? Because I was so shocked they scored on 5-3. He goes, some guy, his last name started with a G.
Gilbert.
I go, Girardi? Because, I mean, I thought he knew Gabrick. You know? I mean,
Craig Gilbert.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I keep getting disconnected from the chat room.
Yeah, so do I. I don't know what's going on with this chat room tonight. Our guest is here.
Okay, let's bring him on.
Want to give him an intro, or you want me to give him an intro?
You give him an intro. You're the...
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, returning for what may be his 10th, 12th, 15th, 20th time on our program, one of the co-authors of one of the greatest, if not the greatest, Ranger book ever written. If you don't have it, Christmas is coming up, Hanukkah's coming up, Ramadan's coming up, Kwanzaa's coming up, or Ramadan's not coming up, Kwanzaa's coming up. Buy it for the one you love or hate, 100 Ranger Greats. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only Adam Rader. Adam, good evening and welcome to the program. Thank you so much for being here.
Jeez, that is an intro that there's no way I'm living up to that. Well, anyway, hey, thanks for having me. I mean, always an honor to join the two of you. Who canceled?
Pierre LaRouche. No.
Okay. How are you guys?
We're doing well.
Doing good. We're doing good.
I love the profanity laced diatribe about the adults fighting on social media a few minutes ago. That was fantastic. I actually couldn't agree with you more. It's something that it's a phenomenon that I've witnessed over the last couple of years on our page and our group. It's interesting. You have some really nice folks who are just very passionate about the game and can talk like civilized human beings. And then you have a subgroup that get very hostile if you insult a player they like or if you ask a question that they don't think should be asked, and then you get the threats and the profanity, and it's you know, you try to monitor it and control it, but I liken it to the Wild Wild West, you know? Somebody's got to be the sheriff, and your little speech there, hopefully that'll straighten them all out.
Until they lose again.
Until they lose again, yeah. If they lose again, you're going to have Ranger fans, you know, jumping off roofs.
You know, they had a 7-game winning streak. I don't think we had any problems. Then they lost 2 in a row. We had problems. We had to get on, you know, we had to kind of straighten everybody out. Then they won 5 in a row. We didn't have any problems. All of a sudden last night, they're down 3-0. And I'm getting messages this morning. Whoa, what was going on in the Facebook group last night? I'm like, I don't know. I wasn't in there. Oh, you better go look.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, I'm at the paying job, you know?
Right. I get those calls sometimes. Hey, oh, did you see what somebody did on your page? And I always... There's always that moment you just, oh, no. Now I have to go and now police a webpage of grown men and women and ask them to please behave themselves. It's unbecoming.
Then you tell them it's Russ being Russ.
Russ actually, to his credit, of the two of us, I'm always the one preaching, listen, you know, we need to be civilized. We need to try to be the voice of reason here. You know, let's keep it civil. And then once in a while, someone, usually me, will snap. And then I got to rein it in. And then I got to rein it in. Because I'm emotional, too. You may not think so. I get emotional. There was a Did they lose? There was a streak there where they lost early in the season after they got back from Europe. You guys have probably, was it four or five in a row? Or there was a rough stretch there before they got really hot.
Well, when they lost to the Islanders and.
Yeah, that was a bad stretch. And as a fan, I came unglued. I really lost it, and I was ready to write them off for the season.
Ready?
There was something about, you know, there were a lot of guys in the lineup who were doing zilch. They looked uninterested. There wasn't one line that seemed to click. Richards wasn't doing anything. It was just a mess from top to bottom. And I said, you know what? This is going to be another. We're going to finish seventh or eighth. They're going to maybe make the playoffs. They'll get bounced in the first round. All I've been wanting to see is progress, you know. I just want to see the team take some steps forward. And progress would be making the playoffs easily, you know, finishing as a third or fourth seed, maybe winning a round or two. That to me would be progress, and I saw no hope of that. So I will admit that I could not have imagined they were going to go on this run. So it's been a lot of fun to see, and you just hope that it keeps going.
Yeah, I think I think a lot of us were just happy that they got the amount of points they had coming out of Europe. I mean, because we know they weren't playing well at all.
Right.
They had two games against the Ducks there, and now we're finding out the Ducks are, you know, one of the worst teams in the league now. And they lost those two games with Florida and Montreal, where they looked absolutely some of the worst effort I've ever seen. I mean,
yeah,
13 shots on net and nobody looking like they cared. They were able to bounce back from that. And the one thing I don't get about the Ranger fan base is this expectation to win. When did that start? It's not like we're Yankee fans where you win, you know, 120 games or whatever they win a year. We're Ranger fans. We shouldn't expect to win. And when we win, we should be riding high. And if we lose one or two, that's what happens. That's just, you know, that's a reality.
You know what I think? If you really look closely at what the Rangers have accomplished over the last few weeks, they, you know, winning 12 of 15, including some games against some really tough opponents, and working their way up towards the top of the NHL standings. If you try to figure out how and when they turn the corner and the transformative event that took place, I think it has to be the Brandon Dubinsky trade. Why are you laughing?
Not sure. Well, I mean,
that's great. Nothing's funnier than my own laugh. That's great.
I have to say, no, we play it often on this show.
Now I'm afraid to laugh because I know you're going to record that too.
That's why I told you yesterday on Facebook, you will never be a has-been on this show. Never.
Wait a minute, are you telling me Dubinsky's still on the team?
Yeah, well, we have a whole bit we're going to do about that tonight.
Oh, okay. I don't want to spoil anything.
Spotted on the fourth line.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I could tell you, if there was a guy that we could have needed last night, it would have been Brandon Dubinsky.
Absolutely.
You know? But he's...
In fairness, he actually... That line, when they're going and they have had a chance to grind a little bit, they can be effective. That's just not the role that you want to see for a player that last year led the team in scoring. Not that the Rangers had a lot of scoring last year, but you know, it was a breakout year for him, and then to come back with this is puzzling. It's puzzling.
Well, let me ask you guys. I'll ask both of you this question. Do you think, how does Brandon get out of this funk? Because he's kind of stuck in a little bit of a quandary. Because now he's on the fourth line with Hagelin and Mitchell, and then he'll switch with Avery or whatever. With the limited amount of ice time, gives him less time to do something.
Age-old problem.
Yeah, I mean, what's the answer? Does he have to score, like, two goals in his limited amount of time, limited ice time? Or, you know, what's the problem? I mean, what's the answer, rather?
Unfortunately, that I think seeing the way this coach operates, yeah, he's got to have a game where he somehow manages to put a couple of points on the board. Tortorella likes to talk about confidence and about guys earning credit with him and playing limited minutes on the fourth line. I don't know how you work your way out of that unless you somehow manage to score a goal or two playing limited minutes, because he's not going to get he's not going to work his way back up the depth chart any other way. I'm worried about him. I think actually he's now maybe played himself out of that that untouchable core that we're always talking about.
Right.
Certainly Stepan's there, and Callahan, and Lundqvist, and Girardi, and now certainly McDonough. But I'm not so sure about Dubinsky now. That's why when all this talk about Bobby Ryan getting traded, when it started, Dubinsky was the first player I thought of. He was the first. He's the one. If the Rangers are going to somehow make a deal for Ryan, if Anaheim would have him, Dubinsky would be the first one to go. And it's unfortunate because his career could bounce back, but you know he's streaky, and this current streak, I don't know. I'm having a hard time remembering a time when he was this cold and had been bumped down to the fourth line this long. This is a little worrisome.
Yeah, because, you know, usually they'll bump him down to fourth line a couple games as a wake-up call. But
yeah.
It looks like he's a fixture on that fourth line now until he gets it going. You're right about the streakiness of Brandon Dubinsky. And also, you know, he disappears with even his other game, other parts of his game. He just doesn't seem, you know, it's hard to read into what a player's mind is, you know, what goes to their mind. But it seems like a lot of times he's just not mentally into the game. If he's not
surprising,
playing the Flyers,
he's got some swagger. He's got some moxie, you know. When he's going, he's effective at both ends of the ice. He's a good penalty killer. He's got some offensive ability. So it's a little surprising to hear him to hear you say that he looks disinterested or that his head's not in the game. I mean,
I think he had a rivalry with Mike Richards when he's with the Flyers, and he's the kind of guy when he scores and, you know, he lights up, and I think the team really feeds off that, and he needs to really do that more. And you know, we kid because we love. But, you know, he's got to get his act together. I mean, you know, one goal. And last year we pointed out that he had 23 goals. 5 were empty netters. So, you know.
Yeah.
You know, so it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. Now, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about this Winter Classic that's coming up. Now, I was a little disappointed at this roster that the Rangers are putting forth. Did you guys calculate over at 100 Ranger Greats how many actual Ranger, 100 Ranger greats are going to be participating in this Winter Classic?
I think it was, and don't quote me on this, but I think it was like 12. It was roughly half the team were guys that we profiled in the book. And then there were some other players on that roster who, the only reason I can assume that they're playing is because they're still alive. And Glenn Anderson, who never passes up a chance to participate in an alumni event, he was a Ranger for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, there's some questionable. I don't, you know, listen, if the guy plays one game as a Ranger, that's one more game than the three of us have played. But, you know, there were some interesting picks on there.
Like Dale Purinton, right?
Yeah.
He wasn't, like, even really liked. I mean, some Ranger fans liked him, but I don't think a lot of Ranger fans have a good feeling about Dale. Let's put guys we liked in there.
I don't know. Listen, maybe they went for a – because you have to admit, it's a rough lineup. It's a bunch of tough guys. Maybe they made a point of calling up players who had that sort of – you know, edge to their game because it's a game against the Flyers. I don't know.
Who knows? There may be some hijinks and faux fights and who knows what's going on.
Maybe.
But I liked the conference where Glenn Sather was reeling off his victories against the Flyers in the past and the Cups. I mean, Glenn didn't realize he did that with Edmonton and not the Rangers. We really can't be speaking.
Yeah, he used that quote-unquote we when we beat you, and I was a little lost as to which team he was talking about. But, you know, I'm actually looking forward to the Winter Classic is an event I'm excited about it. It's an event that I haven't become jaded about this yet. It's not like the All-Star Game. This is one that if you're a real hockey fan, it doesn't matter what team you're a fan of, you have to be excited about this and appreciate it on some level, regardless of who's playing in it. I do want to see cold weather teams in there, playing in cold weather markets. I mean, I think you've got to keep. As soon as the NHL rolls out, you know, Tampa Bay Lightning versus the Panthers at Sun Life Stadium, then I'm out. Then I'm done. But so far, you have to admit, I mean, these have been really good games. And the fact that they're regular season games helps. And, of course, you know, Rangers, Flyers, great rivalry. So I'm very excited about it.
Oh, yeah. I'm completely jazzed for it as well. I mean, it's just, you said it, summed it up perfectly. The All-Star game, I don't even watch. I mean, that's how bad that is for me. The Winter Classic still, and it'll be good to have, you know, some vested interest within, you know, with the Rangers in it.
Hey,
so
here's a question for
you
guys. I just want to ask you a quick question because you mentioned the All-Star game. Now that the NHL is realigning, do we now have four All-Star teams, one for each conference?
Huh.
Like a round robin. Don't laugh. I mean, it could happen. An All-Star weekend where you have, you know, like one team from each conference playing a round-robin tournament?
These guys
have
don't
like
even 150 play in the one
All-Stars?
Game.
Huh?
They don't even want to play in the game that they're supposed to.
Well, yeah. you'd have a lot of guys who, you know, it's basically just anyone who happens to be by the phone when they call.
Now, yeah. Well, let me. While we were talking, well, my answer to that is no. There will be no Red Robin, but Round Robin. Red Robin is a restaurant. Of course, food always on my mind. Yum. So, well, what do you think about this realignment? Everybody's up and down all around with this. What are you thinking about these four conferences and this whole setup?
I'm still trying to wrap my head around it. It really is radical. No format was going to please everybody, and that includes the owners and the fans. But even though on the surface it strikes me as really odd to have Montreal and Toronto in the same division as Florida and Tampa Bay, this could actually end up being the most equitable solution for everybody. From the Rangers' point of view, my initial impression is that it's going to make things a little tougher. If the top four teams in each conference make the playoffs, assuming they finish in the top four, the Rangers are going to have to go through any two of the following: Flyers, Penguins, Capitals. That's a tall order. So there will be no easy playoff series anymore. So what that means is that all teams, including the Rangers, everyone's going to have to lift their game. Everyone's going to have to try that much harder to get out of your conference.
Well, here are my two questions. A lot of questions going on tonight between both of us, and that's good. I like the exchange. my question is, have they decided on how many times we're going to play each conference foe in a season? Are we going to see the Caps? Has that been decided yet?
I have that information if you're interested.
Give it to me.
In the 17 conferences, teams will play each other six times, three home, three away. In the 18 conferences, teams will play either five or six times in a season on a rotating basis. Three teams will play each other six times. Four teams will play each other five times. This process would reverse each season. An 18 conference member that plays an opponent six times in one season would play it five times the following season. So basically you're talking about with the Rangers conference, whatever this conference may be called, they'll play each team six times. I think my biggest problem, well, first of all, like Adam said, I don't see Montreal, Ottawa, Toronto, Boston and then Florida and Tampa Bay. It just one of these kids isn't like the others. Come on, can you tell which one? But it's the same thing with the Rangers conference. You've got the Devils, you've got the Islanders, you've got the Rangers, you've got Philly, Pittsburgh, Washington. Those are all teams. I mean, every one of those teams, the Rangers have had just long-standing battles with, and then you got Carolina. Unless they're going to move Carolina back to Hartford eventually.
Living in Central Connecticut, I can assure you both that will not happen.
What about the Islanders coming back up there?
We don't want them.
Now, which brings the question, where are the Islanders going to go when they move to Kansas City / Seattle or Quebec?
Well, of course, the talk is that the Coyotes are going to be the team that ends up in Quebec, and so far that's all just rumor because Quebec doesn't even have a building yet. All they've got is, I think they've allocated some money and they've got some blueprints, but that's about it. That's a very good question. There's room for another team in one of those Eastern conferences. You have two 7-team conferences, so it is perfectly within reason that the Coyotes will move east and end up in the division with Toronto and Montreal.
Why didn't they just do the simple thing and flip Winnipeg and Nashville? Does anybody? Nobody has the answer.
No, Mal, because there were so many teams in the West crying about travel. Dallas wanted to come east. Detroit wanted to come east. And, on some level, I understand that. I mean, if all your games are being played, in two time zones over, that's hard on a weeknight. You want people to be able to watch the games. That's hard. So something had to be changed. I get that. But like I said, no system is going to please everybody. There was always going to be something weird about these divisions, these conferences. There's always going to be teams that just don't seem like they fit. I mean, actually, a couple of those Western conferences look totally normal. I mean, they seem to work. It's the ones in the East that just look off, They just look funny. And, like having Carolina in the same division as the Rangers just seems strange. But, we'll deal with it. Fans will deal with it.
Of course. And we don't have a choice.
I mean, I'm no Copernicus here, but you got a division that's got a conference that's got 7 teams and the top 4 make it. We're in a conference with 8 teams and only 4 make it. I mean, I know the Islanders may not count as an official NHL franchise at the moment, but still, the odds are better with some of these other conferences.
Well, we're in a 7-team conference now. The Rangers are in a 7-team conference.
So we're really in a 6-team conference. So just forget what I just said. Backtrack. Like I knew that we were in a 7-team conference all the while, and we have an advantage. I like that.
Well, yeah,
I threw something out there on Facebook today, and it's just something that hit me, and I have no. I have no evidence to support this is actually going to happen, but I looked at which teams were in which conference, and I noticed that the conferences have not been named yet. And there's a part of me that thinks the NHL might try something cute where they will name each conference after a player who was a very big star for a team in that conference. So in other words, the conference with Boston in it becomes the Orr Conference. The conference with the Penguins becomes the Lemieux Conference. And then you've got Detroit with Howe and Edmonton with Gretzky. I could see them trying to pull something cute there.
You've got Edmonton and Los Angeles in that conference.
Exactly.
Well, and the other thing that does is maybe it repairs a little of the rift between the NHL and Wayne Gretzky. But I could you imagine a banner hanging at God, hopefully soon.
I'm right there with you, Jim. No, I cannot imagine it.
2012, 2013, Mario Lemieux conference winners.
Yeah, no, I'm right there with you. Nobody at Four Penn wants to see that.
Bring back the Patrick division.
Right.
Right. Name them after the founders, the old people. Do you think, you know, certain teams, if I had to play in the Bobby Orr, listen, I love Bobby Orr. He's probably the greatest player ever played, but
that's not going to fly in Montreal, though.
Right. Exactly. I know. So anyway. So we got
another
that.
Question.
Well,
that was, another question that was asked of me, and I'll ask it to you. What's going to happen to the Campbell and Wales trophies?
That's a good question. Somebody,
yeah.
Somebody else asked that. That is a good question. That is a good question.
How are they going to? Yeah, that is. See, you ask a lot of good questions. This
Thank
is why
you.
you're a world renowned author and interviewer. World renowned. So, you know, I'm more concerned about what's going on this year. And I want to pick Adam Rader's brain. I'm going to ask you this question, my friend. What Ranger do you expect to maybe have a sophomore slump that has kind of proven you the most wrong so far?
Which rookie on the Rangers do
from
I
last,
think is going...
No,
oh,
from
oh,
last...
Okay, okay. Which sophomore on the current team is going to have a slump?
When he came into the season, when coming into the season.
Who did you think was going to have a slump and didn't? I think is what he's asking.
Richards. Brad Richards.
You...
Brad
you
Richards
and Cohen, let me go off here for a second. Just like, you and Cohen are so gun-shy of these big free agents coming in here. You did the same thing with Gaborik. You did the same thing with Richards. You scarred from the Save the Spendathon era of the 2000s, not the other 2000s, but, you know... You guys are just so gun-shy. You're against
listen,
anything.
Listen, I heard your whole rant about talking about hating players. I'm not going to come in here and badmouth players. All I'm going to say is that sometimes, you mentioned Gaborik, he'll score 35 or 40 this year. He looks like he's on pace for 35 or 40. That's going to be the quietest 35 or 40 goals you've ever seen. So
what do you mean quiet?
I'm not going to say that I was wrong about Gaborik yet. And as far as Brad Richards goes, I'm very pleasantly surprised at the way he has finally clicked with Ryan Callahan. I could not have foreseen the two of them would be a pairing, but they look great together. I know the idea was that we're going to put Richards with Gaborik. I had a funny feeling that wasn't going to work, and sure enough, it didn't. But you asked me who do I think on this team, a sophomore, is going to run into a slump? It's certainly not going to be McDonough. He's having a fantastic year. I'm so impressed
well,
with this.
Now, I asked you coming into this season. What did
who
you
did
say?
Think,
you know what?
Who, oh,
right.
Okay. Who did I think coming in? Oh, boy. I don't know that there were any rookies from last year that I was expecting to have a big slump. Maybe Stepan, but, you know he's been great. I don't know. I don't think I have an answer for that.
See, I had thought Stepan would struggle to score, but he's been so good. I mean, he's got great vision on the ice, and I think he's a great – he's going to emerge as a great leader on the team as well. There's nothing I don't like. McDonough I'm worried about, you know, because – defensemen, they get wore out. You know, they game now with the elevated minutes. I didn't think he would be able to handle it. He's been superb. You know, Sauer has looked good. You know, nobody really has disappointed. I mean, they
have. You know what
progressed.
I really like about Stepan? What I really like about Derek Stepan is that he comes up big in big moments of games. And so does Richards, to his credit. And so when they compare the two players, when Tortorella said that Stepan reminds him of a young Brad Richards, I think it's accurate. I do see a lot of similarities in their game. But I love that he wants to be on the ice in big moments of the game. He scores big goals. His goals, maybe he may end up scoring a little less, a couple of fewer goals this year than last, but his assists are up. But I think he's a fine player. I'm very happy to see that he hasn't really missed a beat. And Yeah, I mean, with rookies, you know, you worry about how they're going to do their second year, but I've been very pleased with his play so far.
Okay. Jim?
I got one question, and then we'll let you go. Why did they so badly mishandle this Mark Stahl situation?
Oh, boy. That's the Rangers. You talking about from a PR standpoint in like
I'm just talking
being
about
clear
the whole
about why he was out or the actual handling of the injury?
The whole thing.
Yeah.
The whole thing's been a crap circus from the beginning. I mean, it's just been ridiculous. You know, I mean, if you look at it, in August, I guess, is when the word first came out. He's suffering from post-concussion syndromes. We're going to sit him out for training camp, but he'll be ready to go for the regular season. Then he's not ready to go for the regular season. We don't know when he's going to be ready, but he hasn't suffered a setback. Then you've got the GM saying, well, maybe it's not a concussion.
It's been a mess from top to bottom. I wouldn't rule out the possibility of some misinformation there on to kind of confuse everybody. I wouldn't rule that out because this coach is a bit paranoid about people knowing the injuries on his team. But the one thing I'll say is, I don't have a definitive answer for you, but the one thing I'll say is that athletes, I don't know this is the case in this situation, but athletes, you know, they want to play, and it is possible that Mark Stahl wasn't completely open about how he was feeling, and maybe even he wasn't aware of how bad the situation was until, you know, later on. You know, he may not have been completely honest, but he may not have been completely aware of what was, you know, of how he was feeling. So I wouldn't necessarily put it all on the Rangers on this one. There is the possibility that you know, because it's a two-way street, you know. Sometimes
right.
You play a guy, you only have his word for it that he's feeling 100%.
Right, right. Yeah.
That's the way I look at it. We will never – one thing is for sure, we will never, ever know, ever, what really happened here. All you can hope for is that he you know, gets back to – that he gets his career back. I mean, he's skating now. It's good to see. But he's a long way away.
Yeah, I agree. One last thing, since you brought up concussions before we let you go. Did you read the Times series on Bogaerts?
I did.
You got a chance to read that yet?
I have. It's very sad. Very sad. First of all, I think it's tremendous that his family, you know, donated his brain to be studied, and hopefully something good comes out of it. But the NHL is already, you know, unfortunately saying, oh, you know, there's no definitive connection between this disorder and no way of knowing the concussions or, you know, the cause of this. And I think it's cause for further study. But
yeah,
there's definitely enough evidence there to suggest that this is something that really needs to be looked at. And I don't know how, I mean, I know that they've kind of looked at this in the NFL, and I don't know how hard they've looked at it in the NFL, but it's clearly it's something that in the NHL they've got to address it. Got to address it. But it's very sad. And you wish it's something that could have been discovered earlier. You know, maybe
yeah.
Something could have been done. But it's too bad.
Yeah, and unfortunately, I mean, you read the story. His problems didn't start when he got to the NHL. They just got worse. I mean, you know, whether it was because of, you know, well, obviously it was because of his size. He was never treated as anything but a fighter, and he knew that was his only chance, and he just kept fighting. And, you know, I think it said in the article they asked him, you know, how many times had he had memory blanks or lost pieces of his memory, and he said hundreds. You know, there were hundreds of instances that he couldn't recall or something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, that is it's a compelling article. It really is. And you know, we don't, as fans, we don't put much thought into what goes into the mental or physical aspect of being a fighter, and that's it's pretty amazing read. It really is.
Everybody should read it, and if for no other reason than it should give you a moment to pause and consider the game in a way that maybe you hadn't before. And there's a lot going on there, and I don't know that it will ever lead to, you know, a ban in fighting or anything like that. But if the best that comes out of it is that the NHL and the Players Association are just a little bit more sensitive to the health of the players, that's a start. But you've got to take that first step.
Right, and when the commissioner immediately comes out and says, "Oh, we have no evidence that there's a connection," that's a red flag. To me,
that's
a red flag. Right,
that doesn't help.
Well, Adam, as always, it's a pleasure, and come back and see us soon. You're the Alec Baldwin of this show, my friend.
Oh, thank you, guys. Well, thanks for having me.
Take care, Adam.
Take care, Adam.
Talk to you soon.
Be well.
Bye. The great Adam Rader. Now, Eddie, did you get a chance to read those articles? I mean, it was in three parts, and each one of them is like seven pages. I mean, there a lot of work went into writing that story. I couldn't help thinking of reading that article and reading about, you know, and they kind of jump back and forth at Derek Boogaard, and they talk to a couple of the other guys that he had fought, or a couple other guys who had similar kind of careers. And, you know, they talk about the memory loss and the damage to their body and the painkillers and the back problems and knee problems and shoulder problems. And all I kept thinking, and this is not to insinuate anything, but all I kept thinking is, you know, Brandon Prust is fighting almost every night. And he's not a big guy. You know?
No,
I mean, he's fighting guys that are most of the time bigger than he is. What's he going through? And, I mean, we talked about it not too long ago where he flat out said, if he has a game the next day that he knows he's probably going to have a fight in, he doesn't sleep the night before. That's how anxious these guys get about this. I mean, it's, you know, I don't know. There's no clear answer for it. But that was really one of the first things I took away reading that was, you know, here's a guy, Brandon Prust, who has talent on the ice besides being a fighter, you know, and you would hate to see him, you know, cost himself that talent because he's fighting every night. And to wind up in situations like, you know, some of these other guys that are memory losses, and Derek Boogaard, they said his whole hand was completely mangled. He couldn't make, you know, just it's a very sad article, really was. But a great, great reporting job by the guy who wrote it.
You know,
sorry,
it
I don't
was.
Remember
it was,
his name.
It was very sad. And, you know, these guys go through some stuff, and it's, you know, they pay the price. You know, I'm going to look. And Brandon, to me, should, I know he'll never do it, but he needs to pick his spots with the fights. Enough with the fighting off the face-off in the first minute. I like to see it. Gets the team up, but we need him around for other reasons as well. She's not just, it's not like it's Belle Biv DeVoe, Adrian DeVoe, Andre DeVoe out there.
Now you know.
So, now I this is a surprise for Jim as well. It's a whole show of surprises. Right? I put together this song. Yes.
I love your songs.
Well, I don't know if you're going to like this one.
I wish you could see me on video right now. I'm filled with glee. I'm smiling ear to ear. I love songs.
Well, I don't know. Yeah, you people are critical when it comes to music. And
not me.
I'm doing this out of love, not just to make Jim smile, which is really my prime directive. See, I used a Star Trek reference even.
Nice.
I just want to get Brandon Dubinsky going. And rather than write a malicious song and this and that, I decided to make a little funny song, you know, kind of urge him along. Now, it's about 2 minutes and 20 seconds long, which I know in internet.
Oh,
time,
my God.
Oh, yes. But hopefully you'll be laughing. And if feel free, if you want to cut off, just tell me. If you're not finding it funny at all, tell me. And I'll still play it anyway, actually.
I would never cut off bits. I know how hard it is to put together something and to angst over something and not know, worry if it was funny. So go for it. I'm sure you'll do fine. Go for it.
All right. Well, this little ditty that I put together is called The Dubinsky Cat. And here is the song.
Dubinsky.
Gym to work out, and in the gym are these two old school bodybuilders, like the big guys with the handlebar mustaches, and they lift those big weights, you know, like the big triangle weights, you know, they used to work out with, and they start singing that song, steak and eggs and steak, that's what we like for breakfast, delicious.
Dubinsky.
And when you hit the Dubinsky.
We love him.
4 million.
And Mario put it best. I will never, ever be able to look at Brandon Dubinsky again without hearing this song. Now, if you're feeling really adventurous, you need to make a video of Dubinsky just skating up and down the ice, maybe, with the song playing.
When he scores,
Dubinsky.
Well, I think we could start a chant at the games. We all can go, ba da ba 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 da 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 da.
Dubinsky.
Let me tell you, I have had that song in my head.
Oh, my God.
For like
that's
the last.
Funny.
I see him on the ice. I'm like, da 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 Dubinsky.
You couldn't, you didn't want to write that song, and you couldn't avoid that writing that song.
Right, exactly. So it was. I thank you for the positive, mostly positive responses in the chat room.
Oh, that was great. That was
hopefully
great.
When he scores, so we can play that song again.
And maybe you could, maybe you could put that song on blueshirtunderground.com so that people can.
Oh yeah.
Listen to it or download it or whatever.
Yeah, it'll be a little more clearer on there than Storm says, when is it going to be on iTunes?
Well, Dubinsky.
Stupinski.
$4 million.
He's Brandon.
$4 million.
We love him.
$4 million.
What's the other line? He's the last. $4 million. Awesome job. Fantastic.
Yeah.
On this show.
As long as I make you laugh and the people in the chat room, I feel like my work was. That took me 12 hours to do. Let me you know all this stuff. It takes. You really got to have a lot of free time to do this stuff.
He's sitting in bed, right? It's like 3 o'clock in the morning. Chris, wake up. Wake up, Chris. Oh, what is it, Ed? It's 3 o'clock in the morning. What rhymes with Dubinsky?
Yeah.
I need a word that rhymes with Alaskan. Guarantee you'll never get this.
Zabinski.
Enough of that.
I need a word that rhymes with Dubinsky. Eddie, go ahead.
Yeah. Oh, I was like that. I'm thinking of he's Alaskan. That's pretty. Because I don't want to make a negative thing. I want something to urge him on. I'm not. But then I couldn't help with the $4 million. You know, because.
Chris is yelling out for now. You coming to bed? Yeah, I hear you.
I hear you. Now, isn't like the Alley Cat, which that song is, the Alley Cat, right? Does that have a dance with it?
Yeah, it has the Alley Cat. That's
oh,
the name of the dance.
I
don't know how to do it, so don't ask me.
Oh, all right. So anyway.
Bet Mandar knows how to do the Alley Cat.
Sure. He is an Alley Cat, so to speak. So what else we got? We have the comedy, the buffoonery, the information. We've talked about the realignment.
Can we move on to the broadcast?
We have guests. We have another guest?
No, I said, can we move on to the broadcast?
Yeah.
All right.
What?
Well, first of all, last night. First of all, I think this should be. I've got a couple of new drinking games for you. Whenever Sam and Joe start making the jokes about playing the lottery before the game starts, you have to take a drink. Whenever they try and have witty banter during the game, you have to take a drink. I'm guaranteeing you'll be hammered by the time the game's over. Second of all, I mean. The Rangers got the Toronto Maple Leafs coming to town last night, right? Could the Rangers once again, the amiable hosts, you know, it's like welcome to New York. You want to go skate at Central Park? Oh sure, bring the dads. What color jerseys would you like to wear for tonight's game? Oh, you want to wear your blue? Oh, that's fine. Wear the Broadway blue shirts, but we'll wear white. That's fine. And then every time they score a goal. Every time the Leafs do something good, oh, let's show all the dads watching the Maple Leafs play at Madison Square Garden. I was going ballistic last night. So all people on Twitter, I tweeted last night, stay tuned after the game for MSG Network's new reality show, The Real Dads of the Maple Leafs. What more could we do for Toronto last night? Did they all sleep at Tortorella's house? Did he cook breakfast for them? What color jerseys do we want to wear our blue jerseys? Well, fuck you. This is our house. We wear the blue around here. I'm not saying that's why they lost. It may sound stupid, but we're the home team.
Well, you know the rule of thumb, especially around here. If they lose, Sam and Joe are going to take the brunt. The first guys are going to slam.
I've always got a diatribe on the broadcast, and so do you, because win or lose, the broadcast is just it's terrible. And then I've also decided. Hold on a second. Just give me 1 minute.
Go ahead.
If you want to host the MSG 150, the first rule is you got to take your sport coat off. Can't wear a sport coat when you host the MSG 150 because it makes you look more hip without it. I noticed Giannone last night. You know, he goes to interview Brad Richards. And he's got his sport coat on, but he gets all laid back Giannone when he's MSG 150 because I guess.
Oh.
So that was another thing I noticed last night.
What is the relevance of that 150 anyway? I don't get it.
It's terrible. It's horrible. And Giannone tries to be edgy during the 150. He's taking players to task, and he's saying all that. Oh, well, that's going to get him suspended, and what's he thinking here? He doesn't have who's right? Somebody's got to be writing that for him because he does not have that kind of balls. I've seen him interview people. The man is as exciting as Plaid. And you know, last night I had to run out when the game started, so I paused. And I paused it just before the game started, so I didn't know they were wearing white after Labor Day, which I think is very gauche. By the time I got in, I put the game on, I missed the first 10 minutes, I fast-forwarded through it. I put out on Twitter, because I hadn't heard them say anything, I said, why are the Rangers wearing white? Are we celebrating 1994 again? Because it's been a couple of months, right? I mean, aren't we
doing a trot out
and Brian Noonan and Glenn Anderson?
Well, they did show Leach, and they showed Messier in the night that he got his number retired, and I was like, I mean, I love Brian. He's my favorite player of all time, but I've had enough of 1994.
And it's Garden of Dreams night, right? Which I don't have a problem with. But they're showing all these kids what they were doing for Garden of Dreams, and one of them's interviewing Micheletti. That was this kid's dream? We brought you here to MSG. You know, it's like, how about that? They have the whole group of kids. They have like 10 kids. Oh, kids, welcome to Garden of Dreams. We've got a great day planned for you. You, Joey, come over here. We're going to give you the microphone. You're going to announce the Rangers onto the ice. All right, that's awesome. You, come over here. You're going to do play-by-play for 10 minutes. We're going to put you up in your own little booth. You can watch the game and do play-by-play. Wow, that's awesome. I love that. Hey, you, Anthony, you're going to interview Joe Micheletti. What the fuck did I do? I mean, he must have been like the little juvenile delinquent. Some kid had to interview Joe Micheletti. What are you going to ask him? Can you show me how to take my
socks off? How was he playing in the last Cavco Cup game, Joe? I mean, what are you going to ask the guy? You can't ask him anything.
And then Troutwig, in between periods, they bring this hip-hop, this teenage girl. Oh, wait till you hear the singing voice on this girl.
My wife said she was horrible.
She wasn't very good. I don't want to bash her. She sings better than I do, but she wasn't very good to begin with. But she's doing this like hip-hop song. And Troutwig's sitting there like his ears were going to start bleeding. I mean, I never saw a man look more confused in my life. He must have thought she was going to do Streisand or something.
We have a kid playing drums, too, up in the organist up there, too. Jesus, it's like a Rangers got bad talent, Garden of Dreams bad talent night.
And I'm very upset because, once again, MSG did not take one of my questions that I tweeted for them last night. I don't know where they get these questions from, but they keep ignoring mine, and I will not be ignored for long. My question last night was for Brian Leach. Does Al Troutwig smell like Old Spice? He looks like he smells like Old Spice.
You know, I think it's just, you know, they're shunning you, and I don't know why. I have no idea. These questions are legitimate, and I mean, you are a well-respected man of the media. You've been in several drafts with credentials. Well, one draft.
Yeah. Two drafts. Two.
Two drafts. Two.
And then I was saying last night, coming up in between periods, Sam and Joe sing Christmas carols with the Maple Leafs dads. And then when Artie and Isimov scored, I said, why don't you guys show Artie's dad?
Yeah, well.
Or Gabby's dad when he scored.
Yeah, I don't know why they were making. Now, Tortorella had squashed that whole thing. I think the Rangers had done that under Rennie, but he, you know, he is the killer of all fun. Although, you know, listen, it's working. Yeah, you had your issues, and you always do. And I got to tell you, you're keeping everybody laughing out there, you know, who's in Twitter land and following along with you. I mean, you're asking the questions people want to know. Does Al Trout face smell like Old Spice?
Because
I know he does.
Now, Barb Underhill, her project for next offseason, shot accuracy.
Yes. I don't want to go into Brian Boyle yet. But, yeah, you were talking about the broadcast. Now, we're starting a little clip collection here of bad calls by Sam Rose, and this one was the first one we had, and I'm going to play that one now.
Callahan and Marion Gabrick representing the Rangers. And the deflection and score!
Oh!
Brian Boyle, I think,
yes.
Up high,
yes,
with the deflection. It's a power play goal!
Again, Sam with the editorializing and not calling the play. Well, against Carolina, he pulled another doozy. Listen to this one.
And the one thing I love to hear from Mark Stahl, Joe, we talked about this, here's Eric with a puck, is that the question about how he felt about the hit. Oh, that puck goes in. It went redirected. And again, the Hurricanes come up with a late goal, and now the Rangers lead, cut to 4-3.
He's talking. Oh, and by the way, do that. I like that. And by the way, oh, and he's like, it's like, Eric Stahl. Eric Stahl with the puck. As he's talking, like, that's not his job. Like, that's an aside.
Right.
And they score! I can't take him.
Yeah.
I just,
at one point last night, they were yammering about the, I think it was the second period it started. And they're just talking. The puck's going up and down the ice, the skate back and forth, and I switched Sam, Joe, the game's on. Like, you'd almost rather have Frankie doing the games.
Dance them off.
Yeah.
How much worse could
Frankie,
that be?
Frankie's actually more lucid than Micheletti.
I think it'd be funny.
Listen, when Sam calls the game, he's fine. But when he starts, like, you know, playing, you know, got to give me the updates and his opinions while the game is going on. That game was in the last two – that call was in the last 2 minutes of the second period. Rangers were up, I think, 4-2 at that point. And they score. You got to announce the game. I mean, like you're saying, last night he's talking about the Toronto's fathers. Who gives a shit? Who really gives a shit? They had to do a piece between periods, pregame, about the fathers? Who cares?
Yeah, they're skating in Central Park. Look at them up in the luxury box, enjoying the free food and the free booze and getting all liquored up. And then there's video of them cheering when Phaneuf flattens Sauer. Oh, yeah. Having a grand old time.
Colton Orr and his dad. And, oh,
real fathers of the Toronto Maple Leafs.
So I'm glad you got to that. Is that Anselmoff also? Since he's been a man of controversy with Ranger fans, maybe Ranger fans are starting to wake up about Anselmoff now. He's scoring.
Anselmoff.
He's certainly doing more tangible things out there than Brandon Dubinsky is doing. But what I liked about they interviewed Stepan about Artie, and he said Artie doesn't say much, but when he does say something, it's usually funny. So. Apparently, Mr. Bean over there doesn't speak much. And that's kind of how he plays. He's not going to be running around hitting people. But I think he's a very cerebral player. You know, and we need that. And he's developing. So there goes my Artie minute, my Artie 30 seconds.
He's growing into his body.
He's unable. He was the only guy, they said, that didn't couldn't put on muscle in the off season. I mean, even Ryan McDonough put on that 4 pounds. Everybody forgot about that 4 pounds.
Do we have that? Do we have that clip? Where'd that go?
I think we do. We have the longer version.
Oh, here it is.
Well, even though McDonough plays a lot of minutes and playing against the other team's top players, what he has shown this year is an energetic level to just get involved in the offense.
get down and there's a chance to go, he does.
Mm.
As I mentioned, he worked on his shot this summer. He lost, he dropped about 4 pounds from last year. Feels he's stronger, though, on his skates. And really worked on his stamina.
Oh.
Now, even though McDonough plays a lot of...
You hear Sam?
That's 4 pounds. Boy.
Like,
I was chuckling.
Like he's got Tourette's.
You're making deep thoughts with Joe Micheletti.
Oh, my God.
Does anybody in the truck, there's got to be guys in that truck just like us who are not on the air and going, how did these guys, the buffoons.
I'll guarantee you they listen to this show. I'll guarantee it. Guarantee it.
Henrik is, Kristen's saying they talked 8 minutes about the pregnant wife. I missed that.
I saw somebody else mention that before, but I must admit, I don't know how I missed that, too. Oh, I would have loved. Oh, forget it. I would have been all over that.
Yeah. I don't know. Well, anyway. Well, it's enough of bashing on Sam. They're trying their best. My thing is, and I've said it before, and I'll say it again, blue shirt on the ground, we deserve better. And don't tell me, oh, this guy is worse than you don't want Jeanette. You don't want the guy who calls the Edwards, the guy who calls the... You know what? I want them over them. At least they call the game. Sure, they go crazy, wacky, and you don't have to hear that. First of all, does anyone here find those two guys the least bit funny when they joke with each other? I cringe. When they laugh together, it makes me cringe. It makes me cringe. Oh, so anyway, I know.
I wanted to
move the show along. I don't want to get stuck on the bashing too much of these two guys.
What else are we here for?
Apparently, it was Grabowski's wife.
Oh,
she was pregnant. Anyway, what do you got? You got anything? Any beefs? You got anybody? You scoping out? Other than Dubinsky?
Boyle.
I'm having some problems with a couple of players. Maybe
Brian Boyle.
Boyle. I was going to say it. That's the guy.
Putting him out there on the power play, and he's just, I mean, they're getting nothing out of him. Let's go put him in. Everybody says that. Let's go put him in front of the net. He doesn't do anything. He was in front of the net last night. He swatted at the puck. It went over the glass.
He shot up into the crowd. Oh, no, was it Callahan? Oh, Callahan did that. Yeah, but you're right. Everybody says he's big. Put him in front of the net. He doesn't go in front of the net.
He's 6'10". He doesn't play
he's
physical. We talked about it the other night. He gets knocked off the puck by guys that are 10 inches shorter than him.
Anthony Stewart. Made him look like he was like, you know, Matt Zuccarello. I mean, it's bewildering. It's befuddling. I'm bemused by him. I mean, I knew last year was going to be a career year, you know, by him. I didn't know, I didn't expect 22 goals this year. But it would have been nice if he would have gotten off to a really good start, you know, and have a bad finish like last year. Now I'm not sure he's going to have any good start. It's just going to be a bad season. He takes a lot of low percentage shots, too. He just, like, takes a shot, like, I don't know, just, like, right into the goalie's mid, you know, just gets these shots that are horrible.
Marcy just nailed it in the chat room. He's cumbersome.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good word. He's very cumbersome.
Shrek.
I appreciate his effort, but I think Tortorella plays him in way too many situations. He played him a lot. Not in that Toronto game, but in the previous game against Tampa. It's like, how many times are you going to put this guy out here? mean, I understand that, was it him and Haglund and Mitchell were having a good game? But, you know, it wasn't the reason. Brian Boyle wasn't the reason. If you want those guys to excel, put them with somebody else. So, I'm a little bit worried about him. You know, listen, you know, they're winning the majority of the games. I ain't fun going crazy yet. What do you think about Brandon Prust? You think Prust is having a good year?
I don't expect a lot of offense from him. I just expect, you know, forechecking out of him and, you know, stirring things up, and he fights too much. It's still, you know, I still think he's fighting too much, and that's not because of, I said that 2 weeks ago. You know, he's got a bad shoulder. I mean, you know, I know it's just pain with him, but I still think he's fighting too much. Looking up ice time here. Brian Boyle. How much ice time did he have? That can't be right. Total on ice? 10 minutes? Had to be more than that. Must be reading that wrong. I got the wrong one.
Well, what about Tampa? Anyway. That was the game. I mean, you know, listen, you can't have the third and fourth line scoring every night. We all know that. They're there to, you know, pitch in and they have. I really love this John Mitchell kid. You got me sold on him.
Yeah, I like him.
Mitch. Torts calls him Mitch. I like him. You know, he's a good egg, that guy. And Carl Haglund, I think, wasn't this his first game without a point yesterday?
Yeah.
You know, he's another guy.
Every time he's on the ice, something happens.
Yeah, he's got a lot of speed, and I think he's the kind of guy that, and when Kreider comes next year, you know, it's going to make Dubinsky and put him in a very precarious situation. You know, and that's why it makes it, when people say, you know, why do you talk about contracts and what does it matter what he's making? Well, you know, you can't, it's not very prudent to be paying your fourth line player $4 million.
Right.
And he's kind of stuck because I think Doobie can bring it. I don't think he's ever going to reach an elite level, but you know, he surely can help the team. I think when he's scoring, and I said this to Adam, I think he brings a very it's infectious, his emotions. But I think he's just wildly inconsistent. And Tortorella knows that too. He's made mention of that.
Are you ready to talk to Costa? And then we'll bring Mandar in?
Yeah, sure.
All right. 646-478-4692 is the number if you guys want to call in. And Costa, what's going on, buddy?
Exactly. You know what my car supremes is?
What?
You know what my car supremes is?
What?
For a girl to suck my dick and eat my ass.
What?
I'll tell you later. I know that one by heart.
You waited on hold 20 minutes to say that? Jeez.
It makes me laugh. I can't help it.
I hate those kids. I hate kids. That's why I blast girls in the face when I'm done.
Goodbye, Costa.
Bye.
Imagine you're a deer. You're prancing along, you get thirsty, you spot a little brook, you put your little deer lips down to the cool, clear water. Bam! A fucking bullet rips off part of your head. Your brains are laying on the ground in little bloody pieces. Now I ask you, would you give a fuck what kind of pants the son of a bitch who shot you was wearing?
I am not going to Mad Dog Radio.
Not with this show, we're not.
I am not going to Mad Dog Radio.
People calling for a roll call. You want to do that before we get to the Mad Dog nonsense?
Yeah, that's fine.
Well, no, we don't have to do it.
Oh, no. Go ahead. Just Costa just... What was that? I mean, really? Oh, wait. Hold on. Got a request from the chat room. Where is it? Sorry. Hold on. I wasn't ready for it. I'll find it. There we go.
Shut up, Cutter! Shut up, Cutter! Shut up, Cutter!
By the way, has anybody checked in on the? I forgot. I was gonna have us call in live. See if we can listen.
Oh yeah.
Anybody checked in on the instigators?
Yeah.
Over there.
Everybody's like, "What?" Yep. Love that one.
We all know your nose is growing right now, too, that Pinocchio.
Now,
all right,
some good news. Well, let me go to the good news, first of all.
All right.
Two longtime listeners of this show have parted with their hard-earned money and donated to keep this show on the air forever. That's right. We've made the promise. Me and Jim will be going nowhere for the rest of our lives, internet radio-wise, other than this program. Chris Smith, our dedicated listener from the UK, donated $40 to this program. That's almost 1 month. Broadcasting, the anti-Woot, one of the all-time, long-time, fun-time listeners, Greg Takahashi, $50 has been donated.
Woo!
Ladies and gentlemen.
Woo!
I mean, like I said, I'm no Copernicus, but that's $90 in my by my account.
My
so
buddy.
I think that's
my buddy.
Very nice by
my
buddy. Smith and Greg Takahashi
from
Hawaii.
We really appreciate it. And if you want to donate to the show, you can go to www.blueshirtunderground.com and do so. You can also pick up your Blue Shirt Underground t-shirt. You can hear clips from the show. Eddie will
I'll be uploading
Dubinsky.
Yeah, I'll upload that Dubinsky song tonight. Faux show.
And all right, do you want to do a roll call then?
Yeah, let's do it.
So if your lips are wet and ready to go, hold on.
All right, here we go. If I can find your, here we go. All right.
Mr. Mouth.
It's Mr. Mouth, the new game from Tomy that can't keep his big mouth shut.
Mr. Mouth.
Try to flip your chips into his mouth before he closes it.
Mr. Mouth.
First one out of chips is the winner.
Mr. Mouth.
I'll just give him my hippo hurricane collar.
I love that intro. But I'm easily amused. Ladies and gentlemen, today's date is December 6, 2011. This is the Blue Shirt Underground radio roll call for that date. It's 8K power, 8,000 watts of gigawatts of power coming your way. 8K power, I salute you. Adam Bartolo, he's from Chicago, but he pines. He watches the Rangers from Chicago, Illinois. He is a man who loves from a distance, as he loves his New York Ranger. So, and then the great Amy Ernano from the Denver area, Denver, Colorado. Loves her Artem Anisimov, number 42 in your program. Loves him a lot, so much, she may marry him one day if she ever meets Mr. Bean himself. Anthony SR0, I think that means that's Anthony Sr. That means that there's an Anthony Jr. somewhere. Or Tony Jr. Speaking of Tonys, where's Frosty tonight? Anthony Sr. 0, I welcome you. It's like, this is the first time I've seen your name. To this broadcast, I hope you tune in next time we do this craziness we call Blue Shirt Underground Radio. Coast of the Crazy Greek. Yes, for all you people who didn't know what he was saying, I can't really repeat what he said, but
his Garden of Dreams is a little bit different than the one that went on last night. Cutter Historical, yes. You can play the audio clip if you like, Jim. When this clip is played, this is who it's referring to. Cutter Historical? Shut up, Cutter! Shut up! That's usually happens when Cutter is bothering Jim or when his Maple Leafs beat our New York Rangers. But I think Cutter has been on his best behavior, which isn't saying much, but he's been doing pretty well tonight. We have four guests. I all assume they're part of the Ranger brass or the Ranger media or the Ranger broadcast team looking to steal ideas. Hey, last year I went on the air and I said, hey, I don't care about things. Why don't you show us a program? Why don't you show us a program that maybe shows us about the Rangers in their early stages? And then, mysteriously, a show called Ranger Beginnings airs this year. Coincidence? I think not. Henrik Sten, who is the great Kristen Frendak. Kristen is a special ed teacher, and she feels at home dealing with this crowd. Howie Sussman, the great Howie Sussman! Howie Sussman, one of the all-time greats. Long-time listener. He's from that Mount Airy Lodge up in that Pocono Lodge up there.
Beautiful Mount Airy Lodge.
But Howie is always in there, and he's keeping things positive. He's like one of the older Ranger fans tend to want to think of the doom and the gloom, but I think we're starting to change that. I think the flow has changed. We older Ranger fans really do see something really good with this team this year. When they got the great Jack Love, Greg Jackow, Greg, he's one of those older guys too. He's keeping it positive. The resident poet laureate of Blue Shirt Underground Radio. He's here every night as well, joining us in this unlawful gathering we call Blue Shirt Underground Radio. Can I say Blue Shirt Underground Radio more? I don't know. But he's also here, the critical thinking hanger, and all the other stuff that's in the intro. And Jonathan Grossman. Man is here every freaking time we do a broadcast. This is the kind of soldiers I want in this army, goddammit, win, lose, or draw. And I'm not talking about the show that was hosted by Vicky Lawrence. Jonathan from Australia. The Thunder from Down Under. That's right. Jonathan, you once again are a man amongst men. I wish you nothing but the best in your future endeavors as a nude photographer. Critical. The great Crit, the soft-spoken man. But, when he talks loudly. No, actually, he speaks volumes. He doesn't talk loudly. If you've never heard Critical speak, think of Hal. Hal the computer. That's pretty much how Critical speaks. But I like Critical. He's got a good sense of humor. And he's also my nephew. No, I know. I made that up. And the great Mandaw the Magnificent. Yes, he's a magician. He will defend his stances to the end, to the hilt, even though sometimes he's wrong. But he will never say he's wrong. Great Marcy Braverman joins us. Marcy Braverman also works with the mentally ill, and she's also very familiar and can understand. She's doing a research project right now, I think, for some thesis she's writing for a triple master's. And then we've got the great Mark Twinborough, and I also believe he's from across the pond, Jim. Love the English, love the UK. I plan to visit there one day. That rhymes. I think... Jack Love sent me that photo.
Next time we're in the French's mustard cup, you can go. And...
Yeah. And then Mario Morgado, who is one of the all-time greatest photographers that I have ever met. The man is an artiste. He's a Renaissance man. He plays the guitar. He's just a man, again, a person you can look up to. Or you can look down too, because he's really not the tallest guy. So now we go further down. The master of brutality, who I find is Dan Cotter, Mr. Cotter, one of the funniest guys I think we have amongst us. And let's face it, this is the premium heavyweight championship version of comedy with us here in this chat room and all around the Ranger lexicon of this radio show. I don't know where I'm going with this. He's just a great guy, and I'm so glad I've met him. I've actually met him, so that's great. Then in Phoenix Ranger, that's right. There are Ranger fans in Phoenix? Say it ain't so.
Couple.
Yes, there is. Yes, there's a couple. And the great Nick Tetrilli. That's not Phoenix Ranger, is it?
Yes.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
Nicky, I got to tell you something. Are you mad that Eric Christensen is not around? I don't know. I think you're harboring some resentment. He actually IM'd me today and said, you know, they would have won that game if EC played. Ranger Gnome 27, Ranger Gnome. Listen, Ranger Gnome is so hot.
How Ranger hot Gnome is he?
He's got his own Facebook page. That's right. That's right. We got the Ranger Gnome 27. I wonder if that 27 is, I guess, McDonough. Can't be Kovalev, right? Or Mike McEwen. Rocco Sansone, like I've said, he's, you know, he's a big-time hockey fan, big-time Ranger fan. He usually calls us when he's walking the dog. He hasn't called us walking the dog in a while. And then the Great Storm has blown in. Great Storm 1211, Storm 1211, cracking me up in that chat room, right on top of things. Storm 1211 liked my song, so therefore, Storm 1211, I like you. Let's face it. I need all the positive reinforcement I can get in my life. I mean, my wife does it all, but other than that, and Jim, I have nothing. Sue Papagallo. I usually go, pa 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 ma ma Gallo. Sue's in here. Sue knows her puck. She's all around the place. She's, again, Jim talked about at the top of the show about women knowing their puck, and we have the class of female supporters of Ranger supporters here. They really know their hockey and Ranger hockey and can go toe-to-toe with anybody. And then the great Tino Romig. Now, I know Tino joined the Facebook group this week because I welcomed her myself. Sorry if I butchered that last name, but I don't have my reading glasses on. Tino, welcome to Blue Shirt Underground Radio. We love having you. And then Zany Lynn. How zany is Lynn? I don't know. But I love the word zany. You know what I'm saying, player? All right. Zany Lynn here. Welcome to the broadcast. Plus some other guests that are just hanging around the periphery. This ends the Blue Shirt Underground Radio roll call for the wonderful date of our Lord, December 6th, 2011. Now back to Jim Schmiedeberg.
Well done. Well done, as always. And we've got quite a few new people here tonight. And we welcome you guys, and hopefully you're enjoying the show that we've put together on a moment's notice for you, because we do very little planning when it comes to this program. Now, pulling an Eddie. Now, right here. December 28th, the Blarney Rock, New York City. The Blue Shirt Underground. We can actually call this the first official Blue Shirt Underground Radio viewing party, because our other ones were Blue Shirt Banner Radio viewing parties. So this will be our first Blue Shirt Underground Radio viewing party. We will be at the Blarney Rock, at least we hope. That's where we're planning on being. Now, you know, I have one concern for that evening. You know, the goddamn NBA's coming back, and I sure hope those Knicks aren't home that night, because that'll really screw up the groove. I don't want Spike Lee hanging out at our viewing party. You don't think he'd come, do you?
Spike Lee, no. I don't think he's out here. Now, Marcy Braverman is saying that she was at the Blarney Rock. Do you think the Blarney Rock, I think it's big enough to host the throng that's going to come out
there. I have to do this. She was at the Blarney. She had four Stellas! Sorry.
Oh, jeez. You're really amped up there. My headset up there. But that was pretty good.
Fire!
People were tweeting that after Artie scored the other night. I loved it.
Fire!
So the schedule, the NBA schedule is coming out tomorrow, but we are set. That is our date. We were scheduled for that date first. The Blarney Rock. Blarney Rock.
Blarney Stone.
Tom Dwyer's. Tom Dwyer's joint. Blarney Rock.
Yeah.
So we'll be there. And now I kept forgetting to ask you about this. So I'll just ask you now. Next Saturday, a week from Saturday, which is the 17th, you know where the Rangers are, don't you?
Oh, the walk.
No. Not even close. They will be about as far from the walk as they could possibly be without leaving the continental United States.
Wow. They're in Los Angeles?
Close.
Vancouver?
Glendale, Arizona, at the Jobbing.com Arena to take
on.
The Phoenix Coyotes. And I will be there. Phoenix Ranger will be there. Now, I was hoping you would be up for doing a show that day. I'm not going to do like a big setup like I did last time. We were set up out in the parking lot. We had the laptop, the whole bit, and we're putting people on the air because they made us park so far away that it was kind of ridiculous. So I was thinking that if we want to do a show that day, instead what we'll do is we'll get right down there in the heart of Westgate, maybe go to Margaritaville or the Saddle House or the other sports bar that's right there. I think it's called McGowan's, or there's also a Yard House. And I'll just get on the phone, and we'll just work the Ranger fans and get them to call. I'll tell them to call into the show, and we can get some on the air. And Nick is going to be there, Phoenix Ranger, and Keith McElroy will be there, and Rob Coppola will be there, who just recently moved out here from Staten Island. Mike Ballantine, I think is his last name. He's going to be there, so we're going to have a nice contingent of Ranger fans.
That'd be pretty cool.
If you're up for hosting and running the switchboard that day, we'll put it together. The game is at 6. I want to say the game is at 6 o'clock Arizona time, which would be 8 o'clock your time. So I don't know. Maybe we could do like 5 o'clock New York time or something, do 2 hours, and we'll try and work. There'll be a lot of Ranger fans there, I think. This is their time of year where New York fans like to go where it's warm. So even though it's not that warm here.
Yeah, well.
You're going to step off the plane and it's going to be 90 degrees, and it's not.
Well, there's some guys on the HF boards who are going to be at the game. Maybe I can get them to meet you guys.
Maybe we can get them to unban you at the same time.
Well, they only banned me from that one game. Thread.
Yes, that is at 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time start, so that would be 6 o'clock Phoenix time. So, yeah, I would say 5 o'clock Eastern time and do 2 hours, and that'll take you to 7, and that'll give us time to kind of work the crowd out there. I'm also going to head – I think we're going to head out there Friday night, the night before the game, since the Rangers should be here because they're playing St. Louis on Thursday the 15th. So I'm assuming they'll fly out here on Friday morning, come out here, and hopefully they'll stay at the hotel that's right near Westgate and maybe do a little trolling for players. You know, I'll be John, like John Newman does.
Marcy's like, did they ban me from a game? But she's been privy to see me in action when her mom was like, who's that lunatic yelling over in the next section? And it's, you know, that would be Eddie Guy, Mom. No, I got banned from a message board, from a thread. Basically because I told some 20-year-old kid to shut his man pleaser. So that's all it takes over there. Go figure. But I've been a good boy since.
Well, good.
So what else? Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah. So yeah, that'd be great. I'm you know me. I love those live remotes in any fashion. If it's at a bar, you get like a good spontaneity vibe, and it's always a lot of fun.
Well,
because I don't know what to expect.
Well, you know what's great is that the arena is right next to University of Phoenix Stadium, where the Cardinals play and where they had the Super Bowl a couple years ago. But the arena is in the middle of a shopping complex, well, not a shopping an entertainment complex. There's a movie theater there,
yeah,
and then there's all these bars. Oh, have you been there? Have you been to Westgate?
Yeah,
oh,
I haven't been inside. I've been outside.
Okay. Well, so yeah, it's great. You can just kind of hang out there, and there'll be all kinds of Ranger fans walking around, I'm sure, and we'll just kind of work the crowd. Maybe we'll be hanging out at, like I said, maybe we'll go to Margaritaville or there's an Irish bar there that we can hang out, or we could just stand in the middle right out in front of the arena and flag down Ranger fans and say, hey, call this guy on the radio.
Now, enjoy yourself and buy some beer, and we'll that'll be that much better. But let me know where you're going to be at. So I could tell the peeps over at HF.
Oh, okay. Definitely will do
you,
that.
You want to bring on the great man?
Yes, I do, and I apologize for leaving him on hold for so long, but I didn't want to forget to mention those things and make sure that we got the viewing party out there and the Phoenix thing. So, Mandar, good evening. Thank you so much for holding. How are you, buddy?
Good evening, gentlemen, and I'll tell you, it's just fun, Jim. I don't mind being on hold while listening to the show. It's the positive edition, isn't it?
We're trying.
Pretty much. We're trying. I mean, you know, what's not to be positive about?
15-6-3. We suck.
Yeah,
trade Henry.
I know.
Send everybody down. Complain about Eric Christensen, even though he's not in the lineup and hasn't been the last four games. What else is going to be better than that?
I know. I mean, the Rangers are very resilient bunch with a lot of games in hand. Did you watch the Toronto game? Were there any thoughts, any analyzations that you had after watching the game?
Yeah, I think like has been said, you know, they kind of sleptwalked through the first half of the game. They didn't get their forecheck going. They watched the Leafs just skate all around and through them. I thought it was one of the poorer defensemen games of the year that they had. The front of the net, they seemed to give up. I don't know what Sauer was doing on the third Leaf goal.
A lot of problems.
Yeah, I think that you, and again, they gave up three goals in regulation. Gustafson got hit with a lot of shots. I'm not going to give him the credit of stopping them. It's more about they hit them, and the Rangers had certainly many opportunities to get the equalizer and had Toronto on their heels for the second half of the game. But, you know, some years, I guess, a team manages just to go ahead and have your number. Meanwhile, I thought they played real well. Don't forget, since the last time we had a show, you know, you had the Tampa Bay game, which was a fine game for them as well. It's so rare that you don't see any of Tampa's big guns make any kind of a difference in a game.
No, the St. Louis and Stamkos.
With Cavalier and Hedman, and none of those guys really made any much of a difference there. But then again... But Tampa Bay was 5-1 to the Islanders tonight, too, so that might be more of a commentary on them than anything else.
Yeah, and going back to the Tampa game, a lot of listeners to the show were down there. Joey the Enforcer. Who else was at that game? Was Greg at that game? I'm not sure. Yeah, Greg was at that game, so I was glad to see them win there. And from what they tell me, I don't keep track of it, but usually it's not pretty. I do remember last year's games, we were having a lot of problems with that line that you spoke of. And going back to the goal with Sauer, he got it kind of caught in his feet and he just mishandled it. But that's going to happen. I mean, you know, everybody can't play well. And there was something in that game that I had mentioned in the game thread on the Facebook group that Dan Girardi... And again, I'm not saying Dan Girardi is a horrible defenseman, but I've noticed a trend with him in the last, I'd say, three or four games where he's had a lot of problems clearing the puck at real crucial times. And I think all three of us will agree, and most of everybody in the chat room, that when we see a defenseman or forward unable to get that puck out of the zone, when they seem to have, like, kryptonite has hit them and they're so weak they can't possibly get it past the blue line, especially when they're dog tired out there, it's very frustrating. But I think it's my most annoying thing that gets to me during the game is when you don't clear the zone in a real crucial moment. And I've kind of seen that. And I had people shockingly were agreeing with me that they had kind of picked up on that as well. And I'm wondering maybe all these minutes are starting to take their toll on maybe both Girardi and McDonough. And, you know, or, you know, I'm not panicking. I'm not saying let's replace them. You know, I'm not going that far. I'm just saying I think it's something we should keep our eye on.
Yeah, I think you don't want to start seeing a trend happen there. You know, a couple of games here or there, you know, it happens, like you say, but you don't want it to become a trend where now all of a sudden every game they're going to have these kind of issues. And that comes back to coaching right there. And so we'll see what he does behind the bench there. I was almost afraid to come to a loss to see what is he going to do now because he lost the game. Is he going to go ahead and change something now? Is he going to all of a sudden sit like either Mitchell or Hagelin just because he can and change something up and bring back everybody's favorite number 40? You know, just something that I'm hoping he's not going to mess with a lineup that's been really working well. Just because you lose a game shouldn't mean that that's something that you do. I'm just worried about that. Has anybody heard anything about Sauer, though, about a concussion or any kind of thing like that? Because I haven't seen any reports about the result of, you know, the hit that he got last night.
Well,
no.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I hadn't heard anything. I'm actually going to...
I think they didn't have practice today, so it wasn't like if he was on the off the ice or not, but they said tomorrow you'll know more by whether he's skating or not. But then there were some reports that he was in the weight room today and looked okay. So I don't know. I mean, that's not confirmed, but it is a cause of concern. And a lot of Ranger fans don't realize that Michael Sauer, before, you know, emerging up the Ranger scene, has been kind of an injury-prone guy. It's actually kind of stymied, use that word, which is completely funny, stymied his progression into the NHL. And I hate to see another setback with him. He did go through some injury problems early in the year. Is that right?
Yeah, he started off the year. Remember, he had either was preseason or the first game with a shoulder.
Right, right. So
remember,
he needs to.
It's technically only his second year too, but he became a dependable defenseman last year, just like all of them pretty much did for the most part.
Right. Greg, I am sweet and on sour. You may be in the hot tub and had too many. I don't know what's going on.
He's always in the hot tub.
Yeah. But, certainly Sauer has become an integral part of that defense. Let's see what questions I had to lay on you guys. I said this last week. Maybe we'll just get the whole, revisit this. Is Matt Zuccarello ever going to see the light of day as a Ranger again?
No.
Yep, that's what I said last week.
No. Nothing has changed.
No?
No.
Do you think he is do you think that Ryan Bourque has a more chance of being the next guy called up, say, if there was an injury, than Matt Zuccarello does?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, I don't know how well he's played down there. You know, you only hear good things, but... I don't know. To be honest with you, if somebody goes down, he'll probably put Christensen in there at forward. Yeah. I don't know about the next guy call up from there. Mitchell was an NHL player already. Hagelin was considered right on the fringe, and they've come up and done real well. I mean, those guys are – they never – and I haven't seen one shift, not one shift in the four games that they played where they looked out of, out of place. I think Hagelin is a puck hound. That guy is fast. He's on. He's tenacious. He does remind you a lot of the way Cali was, and with more speed, I think. So I think Hagelin has really looked well. But I don't think Zuccarello is in their minds, because if they would have, they would have called him up already instead, maybe as a replacement for a Mitchell or a Hagelin. I don't think he has the physical strength to take on everything. He may have playmaking skills, but he's not going to be a guy that gets, you know, in on the puck, doesn't play the tenacious game I think that Torts wants, and there's no room in there for a guy like him.
Yeah, I'm starting to think it's in a way, his stats as a Ranger, just playing, and if you just go by stats, are not that bad. I mean, it's not like the guy stuck the joint up. I mean, he played pretty well. When he got sent down, he deserved to get sent down last year. I just think if in a perfect world, he probably, if he could get the minutes, he probably could show more. But right now, the Rangers don't really have anybody that they could really – that he could substitute for at this point, we're getting any kind of major minutes. as far as Zuccarello goes. So, you know, it's a shame because we did see some flashes of brilliance there. He may be a guy that needs a little more. He needs a change of scenery. He needs to start with some other team. He might wind up on St. Louis with Evgeny Grachev, who got hit in the head with a puck and is out, by the way. Maybe it'll knock his skill level a couple up and up. Yeah.
By the way, Eddie, did you guys?
Yes.
Did you say the United States announced their? Didn't they announce their
junior team?
Their
World Junior.
World Junior roster, right?
Yes.
I think Miller was on it from the Rangers. I don't know. Were there any other Ranger prospects that were on that?
I didn't get a chance to peruse the whole list, so I can't give you a. I just know it was released. I don't know if you have it in front of you, but there's no JT Miller on there. No.
No Miller's there. I don't really know who the other guys were.
Well, JT Miller. JT Miller was invited. I'm looking at the article on Blue Shirt Banner. It doesn't mention any. Returning from last year's team, Jack Campbell, Justin Falk of the Carolina Hurricanes, Derek Forbert. Jonathan Morel, Nick Bustad, Emerson Edom, Charlie Coyle, Jason Zucker.
Emerson Edom, didn't we? Isn't he Ranger property?
No. So he was. I think he was drafted by the Kings, if I'm not mistaken. Hold on. Here's the roster. Let me scan it real quick. See if I see. No, I'm sorry. Anaheim, not LA. I don't see any other Rangers on this list.
So Jess Miller on the U.S. team.
Yeah.
I think Chris Kreider played in too many. That's why he wasn't eligible. Because he played last year, I know for sure, and the year before. Because he won it the year before, 2 years ago. Now, with this juniors, do you guys know that they have to go play in Russia now because Russia won it last year?
Well, they have a different place that hosts the tournament every year.
I thought it goes with the winning team. Like, you get to play that they host. I'm not sure on that.
I don't think that's the way it is, but I'm not sure either.
Cutter is saying no. It's in Calgary and Edmonton this year.
Yes.
See, Cutter. See, the Canadians are on top of this. I'm just a lowly American hockey fan. They know the World Juniors and what's happening. Cutter's on hold. What is Cutter going to say? Is it going to be something that's?
I don't know.
All right, let's put him on so Mandoc can do what he does.
Good evening, Cutter. How are you?
Shut up, Cutter. Doing good. How are you guys?
Doing very good, my friend.
Shut up, Cutter. It was a good game yesterday, though.
Yeah, it was a good game. I mean, did you think there was any chance that your Leafs may lose during that game?
Yes, because when you came back from 3-0 to make it 3-2, and remember, you got the 6-on-4, I was like, oh, no, they're going to score. I know it.
It's going out with your voice. It's
sorry.
Different.
I've had some throat problems the past few days.
Throat problems, such as what?
Like I've had a sore throat for a couple of days.
Oh, all right.
Well, get well soon.
We're almost out of time.
I know we're almost out of time.
I just wanted to get Mandar's
thoughts on the realignment.
When it's time to change, you've got to rearrange. I'm sorry. What?
Mandar, your thoughts on the realignment?
You go to a balanced schedule and then you play a ton of games in your division. It's gonna get annoying after a few years, just like it used to be when you played the playoffs in your own division. You're playing the same teams year after year. I understand why they did it for the travel schedules. You get the top four in each. I mean, you made it so simplistic, but you really didn't. You know, the playoff scheme the way it is now, at least you had it with the top eight in each conference with the first place teams getting in. You're not going to have that argument about a fifth-place team like will be in the new set. There'll be a fifth-place team that'll have more points than another team in another division that came in fourth or third. and everybody's going to get pissed off because they should be in it because they were better than somebody else, but blah, 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 blah. I mean, it's, again, they decided on you know, for geographic reasons. I don't mind the Rangers seeing we've always seen these teams. It's
not
nothing
about
new
it.
Fans. You know, we've been in the same division with these teams before. There's no change to it. I don't think it really matters. What I hate the fact, though, is that, you know, if you're not in your division, you're only seeing that team twice a year. So, I mean, as much as we hate to go to Montreal and play, it's a great atmosphere. So we'll have one Ranger game in Montreal, one Ranger game at home against them. Meanwhile, we also get to, you know, to see Columbus once home and away every year, too. And you know, who doesn't look forward to the annual Columbus home game? So
I got to get me some Curtis Sanford.
Exactly. Right. So, I mean, that one good thing is that every team at least will have at least one West Coast trip during the year, and then it becomes more of a, you know, kind of a thing like it used to be. Like, you know, you always used to have that one West Coast swing, and it mattered where it was in the schedule. If you had it, like, in December, it wasn't too bad. But if you had to do that West Coast trip in March, then, you know, you're going to have issues, you know, coming down the stretch, so you had to worry about that. So it'll bring a little bit more like that into it, since you're going to play everybody out on the West Coast anyway. But I'd rather see, you know, four games against the Bruins than have a home-and-home against Nashville. But, you know, I guess they do what they got to do for the fans in your own division. They say it'll keep the rivalries going. I maintain you'll never take rivalries out of hockey that are the true rivals, so it doesn't matter.
Right, Cutter.
Right. How do you feel? Cutter, I want to ask you how do you feel about the alignment now and how it affects Toronto?
Well, I mean, why the heck did they put Florida and Tampa in the same division as us? I mean, Philly and Pittsburgh are closest geographically.
That's true.
They want
in Washington. They want Philly playing, you know, the East Coast teams, the traditional rivals. They really had nothing to do with those.
Dubinsky.
Sorry, couldn't resist. All right, go ahead. Okay, yeah, I don't understand that as far as Tampa and Florida. It just doesn't make any sense.
No.
But,
I mean, what are your thoughts about the playoff format that's going to happen now?
Horrible. You're going to get tired of it. It'll be the same teams making it. It'll be the same teams playing each other. So it's tiring after a while. We saw that, in the late 80s and early 90s, they did it that way forever. And every year, you know, the Rangers were either playing Pittsburgh or Washington or the Islanders.
Well, yeah, I mean, for the most of the 80s, it was either the Flyers in the first round and the Islanders in the second round or the Islanders in the first round, and then occasionally they sprinkled in the Caps in the first round and then the it was always the same, you know, three or four teams round robin for all those years. I mean,
it's going to be now, so it's going to be
except you'll never see the Islanders.
It's going to be really repetitive again. So, but that's, you know, they have to do it geographically. It makes sense to do it geographically, but I don't agree with the way that they've got the schedule made out. I think that you could put teams in these divisions, that's fine, but don't give us two games against everybody else and having to play six in your own division. There's no reason, again, to have a home and an away game with teams that really don't matter. And that's my biggest issue. You have seven teams in the Rangers division. That means you play six other teams six times, right? That's 36 games. The other 46 games are out of your conference. You're playing more games out of your division than in your division, yet your playoffs are determined about where you are in your division. Doesn't make sense.
Yeah. Well, I agree, but they want the Rangers and the Red Wings and you know, Montreal. They want them going to Florida. Well, they're in the same division now, but you know, they want the Rangers going, making sure they're going to Florida and Phoenix, places where they're going to fill. Is that Glenn Say they're knocking on the studio door already?
No, that's the end of the show knocking.
Well, if I could add my 2 cents on the playoff format.
Okay, go ahead.
You got to consider. Well, Mandar points out that, of course, it was the late 80s, early 90s that it happened. I mean, the Leafs were in the crappiest division at that time. I mean, every team in the North stunk at one time or another. I mean, you got Minnesota, St. Louis, Toronto, Detroit, and Chicago. I mean, every one of those teams had a lean stretch, and yet they still made the playoffs.
Yep. You're right.
Yeah, you're right. You're right there.
And what's going to happen, about this too, what's going to happen is that you're going to eliminate Cinderella things from happening. Now you had, in the last few years, you had a bunch of 8 seeds or 7 seeds being able at least to knock off somebody in the first round. Not going to really probably have that in your divisional playoff round because you're going to go through your closest rivals who you've already played 6 times during the year, and you're going to have to go through 2 of them to get to basically win your conference or division to get into the next round. I don't know. They were talking about reseeding when the 4 finalists are, so you have the possibility of playing a team, you know, in the conference next to you in the finals. I don't know. But
well, Mandar, the Cinderella format in the divisions playoffs did happen. I mean, you got to remember, 91, the North Stars beat the top 2 teams in the NHL that year, and they made a run.
You're listening to the Cutter and Mandar Show on Block Talk Radio.
Well, you're also talking an exception rather than the rule, but of course that happened. You're not going to see probably the Carolinas getting into the finals or Edmonton or Calgary's that have been pretty much surprises over the last years.
Yeah, I know, Mandar. That's what I'm just saying. I'm just saying there's an exception to every rule.
Yeah.
Well, that concludes the Cutter and Mandar Show for tonight.
You guys did a great job.
Yeah, very good, very good. Thank you for your phone calls. We appreciate it. Mandar, the great Mandar. You can catch him at Mandar.com doing Mandar thing. And the great Cutter Historical, you can catch him on YouTube doing his Leaf Crisis videos.
Wow.
And now...
Do you want me pissing on Pauly D next video?
No. We love Pauly D.
I see. You were fine, Cutter. You had a great phone call, and then you got to spoil it.
Yes. We are good friends.
Well, we were close to ending as is, so.
Well, Cutter, I think you did a fine job tonight. And now, as I say goodbye to you, and me and Jim say goodbye to you, we leave you with the Dubinsky Cat song.
Oh, man, that's going to be in my head forever.
Good night, everybody.
Night.
Good night.
Like Uncle Floyd.
Dubinsky. That's what it reminds me of.
Dubinsky.
I like the tuba.
Dubinsky. Thank you.
reminds me of one of the dogs from that Bugs Bunny commercial. No, it's a giraffe. It's a giraffe. Oh, a giraffe's got a long neck like this. It's a rabbit. Dubinsky.
Dubinsky.
All right, I'll see you further.
All right, I'll talk to you later. Bye.